And with apologies to Mike Schilt, if he happens to be listening, the roller coaster season of the San Diego Padres resumes tonight.
Uh-oh.
And hopefully, Scraby, we keep going downhill. Things are going well for the Friars, and we welcome you into Gwynn and Chris. It is finally a Friday. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Cleveland today, fresh off his daughter's victory in the Grand Canyon soccer opener the other night.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit earlier.
He's really excited, it seemed to me.
He's a proud papa.
He said she was in on the action.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she got a goal. I mean,
no,
you know, soccer, you got two goals, but she was involved in her first game. That is a proud papa moment.
It is.
I didn't have papa moments. But
well, when Lucky started playing his college soccer career, I felt...
You get a twinge?
I got a tear in my eye.
Yeah. So, Tony was excited, and they won their match, and now back to baseball tonight as the Padres look to keep it rolling. 15-4 in the last 19 games. Actually, currently, it's a 5-game win streak. Kind of forgot about
really?
That. They won the last two against Houston. And then, of course, that thrilling sweep of the Brew Crew. I don't know if you saw last night, but, just another reminder of how nice it is to have Mason Miller on our side. And, Dodgers had a 4-2 lead in the ninth inning against the Brewers. And Edwin Diaz gave up, I think, 5 straight hits. It was hit, 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 hit. Dave Roberts went, yikes. Finally took him out, and it was over. Milwaukee won 5-4. So, look, I'm not even going to think about it, but I'll just mention it. The Padres are 8 games back of the Dodgers. It's still a long, long way to dreaming about something like that.
This exact scenario played out last year.
Yeah.
And what did we
end
say?
Up getting kind of close.
Two games. I think they even had a
two
chance
or three
to take
games.
The division if they going
yeah,
into
no,
a weekend against them.
You're not wrong.
And we said, this is what ended their season last year, is not catching the Dodgers and winning the division, because they would end up playing the Reds instead of the Cubs.
And it would have been a different road the playoffs.
Of course, we don't know, but I think it would have been easier against the Reds.
You never know. Let's be honest, though. If you're going to put all your eggs in the basket of having to catch the Dodgers, then there's a good chance you're going to be disappointed. You've only got 40 games to go. The Padres could keep playing at this ridiculous pace, which would be something like 30 and 10.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the Dodgers would still need to go 21-19 for you to catch and pass them.
It's a tall task, but it's doable. It seems
of course
like.
It's doable, but why worry about it? Just get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Get there. Take it from there. Cubs did win today. If you're keeping an eye on the rest of the wild card race, they shut out the Cardinals 3-0. That drops the Cardinals a little further out. Your guy Schwarb hit a couple of home runs last night after you said nobody could homer.
I did.
At the Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Don't ever challenge Schwarber like that.
I need to do it more often because my fantasy team's been struggling.
He's been hurting without his home runs. Well, he hit 2 last night, so the Phillies won there. So, the way it is, Padres, Cubs are actually still the number one wild card. Padres in the number 2 spot, and then the Phillies are a half back. The Diamondbacks are a game back. And then the Marlins and the Cardinals are kind of on the periphery. Still in there, but we're not worried about them for the moment. But I think if you're the Padres now, having said all that, and I said all that, and now you kind of took note of it out there, now for the Padres, it's like put all that stuff out of your mind. Just go play ball. Go out there. You got a really tough pitcher again that you're facing tonight, Gavin Williams. He has pitched some nasty baseball this year for the Guards, right-hander. And if he's on his game, you might get 3 hits and go back to your hotel room. He's that good. So, but I also, felt like Kyle Harrison was that good. And the Padres didn't have too much problem with him.
Who was it? Okay,
the other night.
Diamondbacks, Rodriguez?
Rodriguez, another one. Yes, exactly. Rodriguez, another guy that had been just having a great year. And, Padres took him apart as well. So, do your thing tonight. Play a little smarter baseball. If we get into a bunting situation, let's lay one down. If we have 2 outs and we're on second base, let's not try to steal third. We just don't need to keep doing stuff. I know that aggressiveness is part of the nature of the team, But stupidity should not be part of the nature of the team. Otherwise, you know, let's roll it. You know, I mean, we got Michael King pitching. So, I mean, you figure you're going to get your six innings. You had a day off. Morejon threw a lot the other day. But if they needed him for a couple of outs tonight, it wouldn't surprise me if he came in there. But look, you got Bradley, you got Estrada. Hopefully you can string it and get it to the ninth inning and, you know, let Mason Miller do his thing. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's a six-game trip. The Mets are next. And, you know, we talked about, well, they're in last place. It doesn't matter. I don't care. In fact, I don't care where any team that they play is in the standings. We already saw the Padres lose 2 or 3 to the Royals. There's not a team in baseball a whole lot worse than them. And we've also seen the Padres sweep the Brewers, sweep the Braves. So if that doesn't tell you that the record of the team you're playing really means very little at this time of year. And Scrappy, you said something the other day that I think a lot of people believe in and are probably right about. But when you play a team that's out of the running, like the Mets, which is going to be next week, they're just playing. They're chilling. You know, like, let's be, I mean, I don't even know if I want to go through this scenario, but if I was golfing and with you and you were just playing out the day, but I was working to get my PGA Tour card.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying, though? The stress would be on my side. You'd just be out there hitting freely. And I think there's a little to that, you know, when the Padres play the Mets. But first it's the Guardians, like I said, Michael King, Gavin Williams tonight. Tomorrow you'll have a let's see. What
Can
time's...
I stop you for a second? Because
yeah,
literally I've gotten 3 texts and 4 messages. Can you get on the camera? People need to see you, apparently.
Why am I not on the camera?
Well, you need to sign in.
Oh, I thought I was. My bad.
That's why I kept pointing. There it is.
Oh, you kept pointing, and I kept adjusting the camera.
Yeah.
Because I was like, well,
okay.
I'm here.
All right, everybody, stop texting me.
All right, stop texting him. I'm back. I'm sorry about that.
They said, everybody said the same thing. Are you protesting the camera because the show is so short? Which is a strange thing to protest, but.
Yeah, if I protested the camera when the show's short, I'd be protesting a lot more.
We're here now.
Sorry about that. I thought I was signed on. Second game of the series will be at 4 o'clock tomorrow. If you're making your weekend, you know, plans, Randy Vasquez, who's been great, will be on the mound. You'll get a left-hander for Cleveland tomorrow, Joey Cantillo. Padres have been hitting the lefties well. We just mentioned Rodriguez and Kyle Harrison. And then the Sunday game in Guardianville will get underway. Yeah, 10:40 game for Casey Mize, who has, I'm sure, a lot of history with the Guardians, being as the Tigers and, you know, Cleveland, the same division, so. He'll be familiar. Tanner Bibee. That's Tanner Bibee. Will pitch a right-hander for Cleveland. He's from Mission Viejo, by the way. So
can I give
the weekend lineup.
Can I get a key to the game? Stop Austin Hedges.
Yeah, the runaway breakout
Stop
hitting star.
Austin Hedges. He's Cleveland. Hitting 270 this season.
Hedgie.
Hedgehog.
I'm
figuring
so
out how to hit for the first time in his career.
If he wasn't just such a, you know, to me and to us, I
he
think
was
a
kind
pleasant
of a,
guy. You don't think so?
He
what
had
was your
moments.
Problem with him?
He had moments where he was.
Tell me, I tell
he
me,
was
I
dismissive
didn't see
of people.
Was he?
Yeah. I think he went to a party during COVID and posted a picture without a mask. You know all that thing, and he was. I don't know.
Oh, so you have Austin Hedges hatred?
I don't have.
I
hatred,
didn't realize
no.
that.
No, I'd never really dealt with Austin Hedges, so I.
Yeah.
But I've heard
so maybe
stories.
you should chill because
I've heard
Austin,
lots of stories.
What are the stories? I thought he was a pretty good dude when he was here. He was always available. I don't know. I didn't have a problem. The only problem I ever had with Austin Hedges is that his batting average was always 175. That was the only issue I had with him. He is actually officially at 269 right now coming into the game today.
Oh, no.
So he's dropped down. But a 730 OPS for Austin Hedges, it qualifies as pretty impressive. So, yes, they will have to deal with him. Stephen Kwan. Trying to get it going. He's had a really rough year, and he's starting to pick it up.
Chase DeLauder.
Chase DeLauder's a rookie who got off the – I think he had 5 home runs the first 2 games. He's got 13 now.
He's starting to heat back up into something.
And then Jose Ramirez, who has been clearly the best player in Major League Baseball that nobody ever wants to mention in that conversation, but he hasn't been this year. And now he's hurt some, 90 games – But only 10 home runs for Jose Ramirez. That seems almost blasphemous. He does have 29 stolen bases, but a .231 batting average. It has been an injury-filled year for him. The good thing, Cleveland, they found a way to stay in this. You know, they're still kind of there. They're in fourth place. They're a couple games under .500, but that division, they're still close enough to give you some problems. So, but I'm not going to worry too much about them. I'm going to worry about the Padres doing what the Padres have been doing, and that is playing really good baseball. And, you know, I the glow of that Milwaukee win, I guess it
wins.
But the last one,
the
especially.
Wednesday game. That was fun.
Yeah,
I even went back and watched the highlights.
Such a good game. You know, so I think there's actually none of that. Once the first pitch happens tonight, that game will be a distant memory. But, you know, it's a great homestand the way it finished up. And, you know, for them to go 15-4 and be with like a bullet, the best hitting team in baseball, like where that came from. Nobody knows. They were dead last in every category, and they weren't just last. They were like last by a lot in some of those hitting categories. And to go from there to being number one in baseball just totally makes no sense at all. But you just hope it keeps up.
Because if they
keep hitting, Scraby, their pitching is going to be good enough. You know, they may have some days where they don't pitch great, but overall, with the addition of Mize, the addition of Ray, you're going to get quality type of starts almost every night now, and then once you're beyond that, you're going to have your bullpen. And, you know, just the big deal to me is for the starters to give me 5 and 6 innings consistently. If you want to throw a 7 inning, it's not going to hurt my feelings. But the big thing to me the last 40 games, can you keep the bullpen fresh enough so that the bullpen can continue being the bullpen?
Yeah, that's important.
So
when do they open up the rosters? And sometimes
September 1st, I think.
Okay, so it is
September
1st.
So they got a couple of weeks before they can do that.
There's an article on Yahoo Sports today that caught my eye. It says the Padres are getting hot at the right time, and the title says it all, because they are.
Yeah, I've heard that, and I don't hate it, but there's 40 games left. I just want you to understand, there's enough time to have another slump and another hot streak. 40 games is a lot.
You're right, and like, I don't even want to think about it.
Right, you could lose 8 out of 10, and then you could win 10 out of 12. Like, a lot can still happen. Let's just hope they win tonight. Go 1-0 tonight. That's the best strategy of all. Give me a little music. I'll lay a lineup on everybody.
Ooh.
I also have the Cleveland lineup, and evidently Austin Hedges, he's backing down from the challenge. He's not in there tonight for the Guardians, so you don't have to worry about him. Here is what the 49ers,
I was thinking 49ers.
Were
that
you
was
really?
Weird. That was weird.
That was. 49ers lost your opener last night, I must say.
Stribling was great, Chris. 7 catches, 63 yards.
Who was
in the first half? Deshaun, I think his name is.
Who's he play for?
Stribling, the 49ers.
Oh. Okay.
Second round pick, bro.
Gotcha. He's going right to the Hall of Fame. Fernando Tatis, hopefully he'll go to the Hall of Fame one day. He's in right field. Jake is at second base. Manny's at third. Ty France. How many games in a row now has Ty France been the cleanup hitter? Can we take a moment to recognize that no one really saw that coming when we barely got him on the team as a non-roster invitee in March?
I think we saw it coming, but
not
but he had
cleanup.
To break it. Oh, cleanup is different, yeah.
Look, Ty France.
Who was the opening day cleanup guy?
Probably Manny. You know, I have to go back and look at that exact day. Was that the – who did they open? I don't remember.
Tigers.
Scooble was on the hill, probably. So
yes,
probably
I'm going.
Manny. But anyway, Ty France – for what he's doing now, he was brought to this team because he won a gold glove and he could play.
Jackson,
really?
Jackson Merrill was
okay,
cleanup.
In the opening day.
Yep.
But Ty France was brought to this team, make no mistake, because he won a gold glove and he could play first base, second base, and third base. Play all of those positions. So he could give anyone a day off. He could, you know, against a left-handed pitcher, you can put him in the lineup, you know, batting eighth. He could give you a couple of hits maybe and knock in a run. But mostly, he's a guy you could trust.
Yes.
And if you go back to April, Scraby, how many games in the first 3 weeks of the season did he even play?
Not many.
Hardly any. I remember even, I think you saying, why is Ty France on this team? He doesn't even play. He's got to be getting frustrated just sitting there, rotting away on the bench.
Yeah.
Well, now he's batting cleanup, and he's been batting cleanup for about a month and a half.
I've always felt like Ty France, for some reason, Ty France has always had to prove himself no matter where he goes. He comes off of a gold glove. He still has to prove himself.
Well,
I'm hoping that a season like this will turn
that
for him.
We'll get him established.
Yes.
Here's the thing with Ty France. He was drafted in the 34th round.
Yeah.
Out of San Diego State. If you are drafted in the 34th round, your middle name becomes Prove Yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
No one's going to believe it.
But he's already put down some numbers that I think are pretty good. I still don't know why no one wanted him this offseason.
.265 career batting average is okay. It's not the Hall of Fame.
It's not. But
He started with the Padres his first time around. Hit, 7, 8, 9 home runs there in a year and a half. Hit about .260, .270. The Mariners, not a whole lot. And then he broke out in 2021 at 18 home runs. By 2022, he had 21 home runs for the Mariners. Made an all-star team. But then he's been to so many teams. I don't even remember him going to Cincinnati.
I did briefly. But
yeah, he was there briefly. He was there in Minnesota. That's where he won his gold glove. Ty France, he's also one-time all-star, but he's just not somebody that everyone has ever pegged as a cleanup hitter.
That's true. I mean, that's true. I just thought.
But he looks good in that role for the Padres right now. He's got 17 home runs, 4 more. He'll set a career high. It's been a great year. But again, out of nowhere. Kind of like our Friar Friday guest today, Luis Renjifo. Talk about out of nowhere. We'll talk about him in a little bit more. But finishing out the lineup after Ty France hits cleanup again. The opening day cleanup guy, Jackson Merrill, bats fifth. Luis Campusano catches tonight. Gavin Sheets in the seventh spot. It'll be when he comes up, we'll have a Gavin versus Gavin battle. I don't know why that interests me. Xander Bogaerts will hit eighth, and Renjifo will bat ninth in left field. I don't know. Has Renjifo started every single game basically since he came here?
I'm gonna have to look,
but there's
like
just
that.
No way anybody saw that coming either. There's many things that have happened here, and why you're 15-4, but those are two of them: Ty France and Luis Renjifo.
And Luis Renjifo's played a ton of different positions. He's almost hitting every spot in the lineup.
I don't remember. Well, he batted cleanup one night when Ty France was off.
He did.
They did.
He did. You're
they
right.
They put him in there. He batted clean, and when Fernando was off, he batted leadoff.
He did. He can go anywhere.
There's one thing I wanted to look up for Luis Renjifo, and he is going to be the Friar Friday guest, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more when I come back. We come back because Tony's in on that interview.
Mm-hmm.
You're in on it, but I'm not in on that interview, and we'll explain why and what happened. It's been a little
It's a Tony Solo.
Oh, it is a Tony Solo. Okay. Yeah. It's been a bit of a helter-skelter type day. Nobody got hurt. But it's been
one of those days.
It's been one of those crazy things. I'm just looking at Renjifo. Coming into this year, he'd played like very little handful of games with the Angels in left field. But he looks like he's been out there for years. This guy's an infielder. He's playing left field like he's Carl Yastrzemski.
You'll find out in the interview what he does to stay ready.
To get ready. All right. Well, that's going to come up. We'll talk about that. Everything else happening in sports, a deep dive into the 49er preseason loss with our 49er expert probably will not happen. But sounds good. Gwynn and Chris is underway.
I got to call Matt Maiocco and tell no.
All right. We mentioned it's been a bit of a crazy kind of day. Trying to get it all together here. Gwynn and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Scraby there. Bill Howe Studios, we know how. Luis Renjifo is the Friar Friday interview. Everybody's kind of changed plans today. So, yeah, like all of us.
Yeah.
Let's start with Renjifo and the Padres. Normally, those interviews are in the 1 o'clock hour. He had to do it at 12:30. I'll explain why I couldn't be here at 12:30 in a second. Tony could. But then he had meetings and things.
Yeah.
And then we normally try to get some stuff down before the show starts so you can hear more from Tony. But I couldn't get here today. And
I was here.
You were
at
ready.
Noon. I was here.
I just, first of all, I want to, heartfelt. No, it's a heartfelt part. Heartfelt congratulations to my neighbor, Dr. Will Anderson. All right, Commander Anderson.
Oh, I know him.
You know Bill. You know Will. He's a terrific guy.
I didn't know this
guy.
Is who we were talking about.
He retired from the Navy today. All right, congratulations. That's a big deal.
He's a Browns fan, right?
He is a Browns. Well, he's from Cleveland originally. Yeah. He's not a huge Brown. He's not a loud Browns fan.
Okay.
Ever since ever since Deshaun Watson, he refuses, and I don't blame him. But so Dr. Will, congrats. A big ceremony down there today at NCRD or whatever that is, you know, Liberty Station area. So I go down there, of course, because I want to honor him. And the ceremony started at 11 a.m. And I settled in. Scraby, I thought it was going to be there. Let me just ask you, or ask yourself out there if you're driving or whatever. What's a long ceremony in your mind?
30 minutes.
That's long.
That's long.
Maybe like...
in reality?
45 to an hour, you'd say.
Hour.
Yeah. Like if you go to a bar mitzvah. Or if you go to a wedding, or if you go to a recital. Well, a recital's a performance. That's not the same thing. But you know what I mean? You're going to somewhere where people are
graduation,
speaking.
Graduation, something like that.
Somebody's getting pinned or honored or graduate. Yeah, graduating. You leave an hour and a half as the person going to the event. And you kind of put it in your mind that, okay, you know, I'm here. I'm dug in for an hour and a half.
A military member knows where you're going with this.
They do? Okay. Yes. Well, then they can explain it to me or they can confirm. Yeah. I don't think it's over now. Like when it's 3 o'clock now or 2:30. When I left, Scraby, they were still going and they were rolling. Like there was no hesitation.
And you were able to sneak out the back, right? Quietly,
not really.
Like a church mouse?
Not really. And that was, you know, embarrassing to a point, but I did not know what else to do. The way it was set up, Scraby, I did one of those escape halfway and then sit back down.
Wow.
And then take a couple photos from my new location to make it look like
you were moving seats to get new
photos. I was moving seats to get a better look, get a better photo op. Yeah. And then I waited till everybody kind of turned around and
I haven't done the photo op before, but I've done the I need to go over to this part of the room for some reason.
Right, you got to get closer. Dr. Will knows I love this guy. He's been a great, great neighbor, and I'm really proud of him. But there is a point, I think, for anybody where you say, that's a little long, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 2.5 hours, well, it was 2 hours when I left, and they were just... Like I said, it didn't look like the end was in sight.
Part of me says I shouldn't care because he defended my freedom. So.
Yes, right. Yes, I know. We should be thanking Dr. Will and everyone who was there at that ceremony today for everything that they do. But
you had to get to a Renhifo interview.
And I never made that. That ship sailed quickly. I had no chance for that.
Clay says, I retired 29 years ago from the U.S. Navy. Thank you, Clay.
Just finished his speech. No.
He said his ceremony took just over 40 minutes.
Yeah. I would
but
think
your guy Will is a talker.
He's a talker. And you know what? If you retire and it's I think you have the leeway to be wordy. I don't think you have the leeway for anything over an hour of one person speaking. And that's
like
anyone.
He was speaking for over an hour?
Yeah, that's anyone.
I mean, we work in radio, and I don't know if we could speak for a straight-up hour.
Bob Uecker accepting a Hall of Fame speech, even he, at an hour, might get a little long-winded. And Bob Uecker's hilarious.
Wow.
But hours, just a lot. For one person. And that was the ceremony had more stuff after that I didn't see.
I would. Okay, so this is not about your friend Will. This is not about him at all. But
right.
What is a selfish amount of, like, what is it? How much time can you ask someone to carve out for you without feeling selfish or being selfish?
In this kind of a situation?
Yeah.
Well, I think, as I just said, in this situation, I think all bets are off to a certain extent. But yes, I don't think any one person needs to speak more than 20 minutes maximum.
I'll give Will 40 because he probably has a lot to say about being in the Navy, so I'm fine with that.
He had a lot of people to thank, but, you know, Will, and here's the other thing. There's now, after this show's over, Scrabe, I got the post-ceremony party.
Wait, you're going to a separate thing?
There's another event tonight, and I'm just worried that, like, you know, this is a more of a party thing. I'm worried that somebody's going to clink the glasses and go, hey, Dr. Will, speech, speech.
You actually know that's going to happen.
And if he gets up there again,
you're going to hear it for the second time. You're going to hear it for the second time.
I may never get home tonight.
And then on Monday, you could just recite the speech for us.
God.
Adam wants to know, our boss Adam wants to know how many bar mitzvahs you've been to in your life.
Yeah, I brought that up because I've been to a few.
I've never been to one.
Yeah, hour and 15, hour and a half. And when you're 12 years old, it's really a long time to sit. They can be lengthy. But I think people have started to get to the point now where we try to look out for the people who are attending, and we don't want to make them sit there for that long. It's like a wedding ceremony now.
Yeah.
Some wedding ceremonies used to be 50, 55 minutes, you know? Yeah,
depending on if you have like a church service.
Right. But I think I think they're trying to, you know, just for everyone's sake.
I have a hard time keeping anyone for 30 minutes.
Like, I think so.
I don't want to ask anyone for anything ever.
But I don't want any of this to take away. I don't think
This is not about Will.
I was going to say, I don't think Will's listening to the show because I think he's still at the ceremony now. Yeah, I would think.
Katrina, who was in the military, said that they're going to be hammered tonight. So be ready for that.
Hey, Dr. Will, speech!
Well, no! Let me go back to the first day of boot camp.
I'm on the second day.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was funny because Tony and I were in the back room talking, like, just seeing if what was going to happen.
Because I was texting you updates, yeah.
And Tony and I were like, he's probably so, not annoyed, but he's probably crawling out of his skin knowing that he has to be somewhere, but he's at this other place.
Yeah.
And then, so we were laughing about that, and then you texted us with the same exact thing that we thought was happening.
Yeah. Well, you said you didn't have to leave, and I said, yeah, I had to leave.
Yeah, I did say that.
All right, let's get back to a little baseball, but Luis Renjifo was the Friar Friday. We'll see what Tony and he talked about. We'll give you a little rundown of some of the other things going on. I do want to mention that Cleveland, coming into the game tonight, this matters. They've been playing some pretty bad baseball, Scraby. I don't, you know, follow the guards too closely there in the American League.
They're up and down. They're
well,
always,
they're like everybody else, but they are currently 5-15 in their last 20 games.
I don't care about these stats. I don't, because it scares me.
And the Padres are 15-4, which is the exact opposite. So I might have just jinxed.
Don't do it, baseball deities.
I know. I might as well have jinxed it. More Gwen and Chris, one final segment ahead before the pregame show.
Quinn and Chris on the Fan.
Isn't all syrup maple syrup?
I thought all syrup was maple. I'm talking about syrup. Like the a real maple syrup. That's just what you referred to.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not in the Gwynn household where we go to our syrup tree in the backyard.
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Short show, as the old saying goes. We'll be turning it over to Sam Levitt here in about 20 minutes. Padre pregame show, Pods Guards.
Saw Sammy earlier. He's ready to go.
Of course
he's ready.
Is. Team's, rolling again.
It is.
Incredible. Just not what anyone expected. One thing that's interesting, Padres' record on the road this year, 28-31. Guardians' record at home this year, 28-31. No advantage there. Advantage, push. There's no advantage there. Cleveland is four games out in the Central, but they are in fourth place. The most interesting team in baseball to me at the moment has to be the Detroit Tigers. Like, how are you going to tell your fans at the end of this season that you missed the playoffs by like a game because you traded Tarek Skubal and Casey Mize?
Do you think
they're 2.5 out right now?
Can you? I mean, pitchers are a little bit different.
Yeah,
you're trading great pitchers. I know you're a game and a half out.
I don't know,
but if pitching isn't bad,
I just don't
know
that
you can
squeak
through a little bit.
I just think it looks pretty weird.
I'm not saying it doesn't. If I was a Tigers fan, I would be upset. I would be upset that they traded away two guys that I thought could help us win in the playoffs.
I'm not a Tiger fan, but I hate the Tigers because they took the Dodgers' offer. You know you agree with me on that.
You know, Jeff Tassin put out a whole article about...
He's such an apologist.
He
isn't
is
he
an apologist.
For baseball
I don't know why.
Bit. Everything is kind of like, hey, stop complaining. Stop. No, Jeff, it's not good. People, whether... let's be honest. If it's good, bad, indifferent for baseball, right? Because we get in the argument, Padre fan versus Dodger fan. Let's try to leave that aside for the moment. If it's good for baseball, if it's bad for baseball, if it's indifferent for baseball, if it's good for the upcoming lockout, if it's bad for the... None of that really matters. Jeff Passan tries to make it matter.
Jeff Passan's he does like to romanticize the sport.
Right. So he's there to romanticize the sport. But here's the truth. We all think the Dodgers getting Tarek Skubal sucked.
Yep.
For whatever reason we think it. So you're kind of patronizing to us when you keep telling us, hey, stop worrying about it. Well, we do worry about it because it is our feeling, our in general, not me and you, but it is our feeling as baseball fans in this country, in this time and place, that the sport is tremendously unfair. And every time the Dodgers cash in, we can't help but have that reaction. Now, the Dodger fan wants to write and say, hey, it's not our fault. Yeah, you might be right. And if the other team want to say, hey, it's the fault of the Brewers, they should have done it, that might be right. And it's the fault of the Rockies because they don't try, you might be right. All of that might be right. But what we think is it's unfair.
Yeah, that's why when we had Alden on, I think it was Tuesday, we had Al Gonzalez on from ESPN. Yeah. And we asked him about that, or you asked him about that. And he said basically he understands why the fans feel the way that they do. He made some points that I don't like to hear, which are that the Dodgers are good at developing players.
Yes, all of that is true.
But he also recognized that they do have extra opportunities because of who they are and how much money they have. So at least Alden Gonzalez is out there saying he understands
Alden Gonzalez is straight up. And
Jeff
Passan
is starting to go the way of being you already said it, an apologist for Major
League
Baseball.
He's starting to look like you guys make fun of us and think you and I and Tony get checks from the Padres for saying nice things. Jeff Passan's starting to look like that guy for ESPN now, mm-hmm. where baseball has got to be saying, thanks, Jeff, for all the nice things you're saying about
us. You know that baseball is going to try to recruit these guys and pay them. Like, I don't know if they're going to pay them under the table. But
let me tell you something. If they screw this up, and most of us think they're going to, by the way, they is the owners and the players. Mm. But if they screw this up, as we all think they're going to, there's going to be no hiding from the criticism. And if somebody like Jeff Passan says, hey, this is what has to happen and just don't worry about it, then Jeff Passan's going to start losing credibility. So he needs to understand that.
Which is surprising to me.
As such a big voice in covering baseball.
That surprises me because Jeff Passan seems like a guy who is he knows the temperature of things.
I mean, Alden Gonzalez, I think, you know, I just like Alden better probably because he comes on this show, but I just like the fact that he's straight up and he's honest. And he'll say, yeah, it's unfair what the Dodgers do. But he also gives reasons why they're able to do it. Having said that, I have one quick question before we do our interview tonight. Who is Petey Halpin? Anybody raise your hand if you're unless you're driving, don't take a hand off the wheel.
I don't.
Petey Halpin. That is P-E-T-E-Y. That is H-A-L-P-I-N. He's your starting center fielder for the Cleveland Guardians tonight, my friends, and he's batting sixth. So there you go.
Okay.
The Cleveland Guardians have guys I've never heard of on this roster. He is one of them. Petey Halpin. He's batting seventh in center field tonight. Angel Genao is at third base, batting sixth. I've never heard of him either.
Where's Chase the Water?
He's second in right field. Travis Bazana is the... Now, he's a rookie I've heard of. I think he was like the number one or two pick or something.
I think he was number one.
Yeah, so I've heard of him. He's one of those, you know, superstars in the making. But yeah, this Cleveland team has a lot of no-name guys, including one of the other guys you'll see tonight, Patrick Bailey, the old Giant catcher.
Yeah, that's true.
Who was let go by the Giants when he was hitting... what, about 093?
He had a worse batting average than Freddie for me.
Yeah, well, he's now up to 189. So it hadn't done a whole lot better for Patrick Bailey, but he can close his eyes sometimes. So
swing.
Just be careful. All right, a guy who doesn't have a batting average like that is the amazing Luis Renjifo. Again, how much of the G are we supposed to pronounce?
It's... an H.
You say not at all.
It's an H. Renhifo.
I know what you say, and I know what's written, Renhifo.
Mm-hmm.
But when you listen to Don Orsillo,
does it matter?
Matters to me. These guys are guys I look up to.
I'm sorry, but his official page says Renhifo.
Official page, I see.
We're going to look this up during the interview.
We don't have to look it up. I know exactly what it says.
It says
R-E-N, capital H-E-E-F-O.
Thank you.
I'm just saying that a lot of people put the G in, and they don't say Renhifo. They say Renhifo.
But that's not it.
But that's what they say.
Okay, well, that's not it. It doesn't matter what they say. It would be like, well, it's Scrabby instead of Scraby.
Well, that's what my phone says when it says you're leaving me a text.
Apple can never get my name right.
You're getting a message from Scrabby right now. He's cold and he needs to put a jacket on. Whatever crazy message I'm getting. All right, Luis Renhifo.
Stop it.
I know. I like to have just a tinge of G.
I don't like it.
With the Brewers, no home runs. 19 RBIs, hitting 205. With the Padres, 3 home runs, including a grand slam, 12 RBIs, 3 steals, hitting 318. His OPS with the Padres is 320 points higher than it was with the Brewers. And he was on with Tony Gwynn Jr. for our Friar Friday interview. Don't blink, you might miss it.
Welcome in on this edition of Friar Friday. Tony Gwynn Jr. with our next guest and Luis Renhifo, Padres infielder / outfielder, joins us. Luis, how are you today?
Good, good, good. How are you?
We are well. You guys finally get an off day after a long run. I think 26 out of 27 days there. And was the off day needed? Did the body get a chance to kind of rejuvenate a little bit?
Yes, that's the mind. Calm down and get ready for next day.
So you guys get the day off. You guys are playing some good baseball. I mean, you've kind of just stepped right in into a role in which I don't know that you were expecting to step into, but you've been a key element in the Padres. Playing some good ball here. Well, I mean, what have you seen this team, or how have you seen this team evolve since you've gotten here and been able to contribute?
So they tell me, like, first time when they come to the ballpark, they're like, ready to play and say, I'm ready to play whatever you need me, and I've been able to be productive for the team and help to win games.
Luis, you haven't played a ton of outfield, but you have played outfield here since joining the Padres. How has that adjustment been for you playing left field, especially at Petco Park?
So you prepare all the time. I come early. I go out. I see the fly. So I take fly balls, grounders, and, you know, talk with the coaches about, like, how the wind's going here, how you see the ball in the Petco Park, and just get adjustment and be prepared.
Now, be ready Luis, every time. Luis Renhifo joins us here on Friar Friday. And, Luis, you guys have found yourself back in this wild card race. Obviously, there are so many ball games left to go. But is this the time of season when it turns into the sprint? I know oftentimes it's considered a marathon, but is this about the time you put your sprint shoes on?
Yeah, because that's the time, you know, like, as a team, you know, you want to go to the playoffs. You want to fight every single day. And so we got really good right now, really good streak, and we have to continue to do that and just play some games.
Now, Luis, you've been able to accomplish a first here. You hadn't hit a grand slam. At this point, you hit a big one for the Padres. Take us through that moment coming up in that spot and coming up in such a big way.
So it feels amazing when I hit that ball. It just feels incredible because I never hit a grand slam. But for me, it's just go there, know what situation you have, and be productive for the team.
Well, Luis, we appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us here today. And good luck the rest of the way. You got a lot of folks in the city pulling for you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you.
Luis Rengifo.
Yes, brought to you by the SDCCU Fan Hotline. It's not big bank banking, it's better. We're just happy that we got Luis because it was there was a lot of time constraints. So thank you, Luis.
Yes, he was
time.
Able to get that in, and the Padres staff, we appreciate their help tacking him down.
It's always tough when they're on the East Coast.
Sometimes, so. Yes, the timing just doesn't sync too well.
It does not sync.
Craig Stamos on the morning show. We're going to hear from him before we leave. But can I just take, how much time do we have left on the show?
10 minutes.
I might need 9 of it.
Let's do Craig Stamos first then.
No, I'm kidding you. I'm going to leave a lot of it, though.
Okay.
Story out of Renton, Washington just now. Mike McDonald. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't really know that name.
The coach of the Seattle Seahawks?
Yes. But you hear the name Mike McDonald, I don't know that everybody goes, oh, the coach of the Seahawks. It's becoming more well known.
Well, yeah, he won a Super Bowl.
Right. Mike McDonald, quote, "We've had nothing but overwhelmingly positive reviews about Terrion Arnold.
I knew you were going here.
That is why we've signed him." Really, Mike?
Did
you hear our show yesterday?
I did it last night during the Scraby show because I cannot believe this.
This is just ridiculous. Even Seahawk fans have to see through this. And I know a couple of them, and I texted them last night.
What'd they say?
And I said, "Are you okay with this signing of Terrion Arnold?" And they said, "What the hell are we doing? We won the Super Bowl. We're not a desperate team. Why are we taking this chance?" Mike McDonald, I was the biggest fan of this guy, man. His speech last year, remember we played it? The whole thing about picturing yourself in the Super Bowl or going and winning the championship. But if you're going to say stuff like, "We feel really strongly about our locker room," everyone's going to know you're lying. You don't care what people think if you're signing a player like this.
Yes.
There's no way that you are getting overwhelmingly positive reviews on this unless you surround yourself with yes men, you know, maybe 12 people in your inner circle who say, "Hey, let's do it." This guy is potentially on his way to jail for the rest of his life.
These are serious charges.
These charges,
guilty or not, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Yes.
We both believe that, but these are serious charges.
He has been in. He is at least involved in a potential kidnapping. What was it? Pistol whipping. I mean,
assault,
the stuff he
yeah.
assault is terrible. This guy. They would not be, indicting him with a chance to put him in jail forever. And
if
Mike McDonald says, when somebody said, "What is the feedback Seattle's received?" Mike McDonald said, "It's overwhelmingly positive." It just can't be. There's no way they can be. And then he goes on to say, again, "It's a serious situation. There's allegations there that are serious." And then he says, "But if you can separate them from the person..."
You shouldn't.
You can't separate them.
It is crazy to me.
This is almost like signing OJ to play running back and saying, "Hey, you know..."
Let's just be clear. It's not quite, but
I
yes,
said
I
almost.
See what you're saying.
I was clear with that.
I see what you're saying.
I was clear with that. But don't tell me that you can just separate it. I mean, OJ's a nice man, maybe, and when you shook his hand 30 years ago, you smiled and you said hello.
Yeah.
But you can't separate it.
You can't.
Come on, Mike McDonald, you've lost it all. And you had so much from me anyway. He's just lying straight up to try to protect whoever it was in that organization. Maybe it was him. Who said, "We got to get this guy"? Why?
Do you think now?
What
you
do they need him for?
I called this disgusting last night. You said you're not willing to go there. Is this now disgusting to you?
Mike McDonald is bordering on disgusting. He's embarrassing himself.
I don't disagree.
I talked to Seahawk fans. They are the 12th man.
There's a Seahawk fan on the chat that said they're not a fan of this.
They love the Seahawks. They're on Hard Knocks. They bus in fans to training camp. Bus them in. These people want to be around this team so badly. There is no way that overwhelmingly people are supporting this move.
I agree.
If you said, hey, we've had a lot of positive reports and we've had a few people that question it, but we feel good. We're going to let the process take care of itself. We'll see where it goes. But if you're going to lie to me and say that it's overwhelmingly positive, Mike McDonald, sorry, man. I've lost you. And I think, I don't know where it's going to end up, Scraby. But when we're in week 7 and the Seahawks are 3-4, this is the first step on the unraveling of a Super Bowl season. And
because there's going to be a lot of attention on this.
So many people wonder, how do teams win the Super Bowl one year and go 6-12 the next? It happens a lot. I'm not saying the Seahawks will be 6-12. I'm just saying,
wouldn't hate it.
Their yeah, I know you wouldn't. Games. But what I was going to say is their magical season of a year ago is already off to off the rails, or at least off to has started off the rails.
I'm jealous because you had a better rant than I did last night. That I mean,
it really annoys me.
Because if any of us human beings, regular human beings, normies down here on Earth, if we had 8 felony charges against us, we wouldn't even get a call back. We wouldn't, like, our lives would be over.
Yeah.
But it doesn't go that way with some of these guys. And the Seahawks doing what they're doing and saying, everything's fine. This is going to be great. Everybody loves this. There's a reason the Lions cut him. And there's a reason no other team signed him. Because there's a lot going on there.
Now, let's not. The Seahawks are the one that signed him. He worked out for the Jets and the Titans, too, and they were happy to have him and were hoping he would pick them.
Those are terrible teams.
Well, but they're barely even.
Seattle's doing this because they know it can put him over the top for another title. Because he's that good.
He goes, I reference folks that have been in his corner throughout this whole process. We respect those people. We're not going to ignore those folks that we really respect. Evidently, you don't respect the people that are going to have strong opinions against this because they have to be out there. They just have to be.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way anybody can universally welcome this move for a guy that very well could be going to jail for the rest of his life. And you're blowing it off as if it's nothing. And don't give me the old, Chris, ignoring the innocent until proven guilty. We brought this up 1,000 times.
It doesn't mean he gets a job.
You don't have to sign a guy in this situation.
You got to at least let it play out.
Let it play out, please.
If they find that this is a big mistake and he was charged erroneously, bring him back to the NFL.
The best I could do for you, Tarion, would be to say, hey, you have a home here in Seattle. We do like you. Here are the makings of a deal, but we're going to have those 8 felony counts taken care of before we can work something.
Jeff says, very Hard Knocks. Like, the Seahawks are on Hard Knocks, right?
Yeah.
So this will be caught on camera.
Yes,
I wonder how much we'll get to see.
Am I going to watch Mike McDonald say all these things on camera now next week?
No, I want to know what happens behind the scenes when they were talking about bringing this guy in. I want to see if they had any sort of...
You won't see it.
Yeah, it's not going to be a part of the show.
You won't see it.
All right, we have to get to our guy.
Get to Craig Stammen's comments. Get us back on some baseball.
Earlier this morning, Craig Stammen, the manager of the Padres, I don't know if you've heard of him, he joined Ben Woods for the management report.
Management of the Padres, I shouldn't... No.
Presented by
SEC. I was going to make a joke, and I was going to say he's facing no felony counts, but I don't want to even put him in the same...
No,
I don't even want to put him in the same breath.
The Ben Woods management report is presented by SDCCU. It's not Big Bank Banking. It's better, and they asked Craig Stammen about Jackson Merrill's resurgence in the second half.
Whoa, Jackson!
I see some freedom. You know, freedom in his swing, freedom in his thought. You know, he's just going out and playing baseball like he knows how to be, you know, what he's done his whole life. And he's a streaky player. We have a lot of streaky players on our team. Baseball's a streaky sport. And so eventually these guys were going to get hot. And now we're seeing them get really hot, you know, and that's been right at the right time, and we needed it. And he's won a few games for us here lately, which is, you know, pretty amazing, and just speaks about how great a player Jackson Merrill is.
Jackson Merrill is great right now. I didn't like the fact that he said he's a streaky player. You're basically making me be concerned that in another 2 weeks he could go back. Like, I'm hoping that he discovered something that's going to carry with him the rest of the year. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't think he meant it like that. Yeah, but I get what you're saying. It wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't. A great
I don't want to think that he could streak in the other way again.
Well, he's not.
Yeah,
he's not going to, because he absolutely looks like he has figured it out, and it's been a couple weeks now, three weeks.
I think for Jackson Merrill, and I should never compare. I think for Jackson Merrill, hitting is like Chris Ello golfing. If I could just clear my head and swing freely, I'm actually fairly capable on the golf course.
But can you?
But I cannot do it.
I was going to say.
And when Jackson Merrill can free his mind, right?
Free your mind.
See pitch, hit pitch. I mean, he said this. He's pretty damn good. And the only other caveat is swing at strikes. So see it, hit it. Swing at strikes, you're getting this Jackson Merrill.
Yeah, don't swing at the fastball up and out of the zone.
I have one quick article I want to call your attention to.
Got to be quick. By the way, end of the second episode for the Seahawks, on they talk about this whole Terrion Arnold thing on Hard Knocks.
Well, the second episode was earlier this week.
Yeah, I got to watch it then.
Okay, so you can watch it. I want to just share. I don't want to share the article. I want to call people's attention. Tim Kirchin, the great article. I read a lot of it today. And it talks about the lessons that baseball learned from the 1994 strike.
Interesting.
Strike coming up, potentially.
Yeah.
Here's the one thing he didn't write. The answer to his original question is apparently nothing, because we seem to be headed down the same road again.
History does repeat itself all the time.
Yeah, but here, if you want to read about it and what they can do differently this time, go on ESPN.com. Sam Levitt's pregame is next. Have a good weekend.